Well, we're going to begin our message here today, and the message is called The King. Much of what we read in the responsive reading we're going to be looking at here today as our first scripture verse, and then we're going to be looking at some of that which follows afterwards for the message. But the whole concept is looking at the King. So, Father, I ask that you be with us here today, that you just glorify your name and your presence and everything that about you right here. That what is set to be is done according to your will. We pray that within our hearts, Lord, we receive everything that it is that you want us to know. And we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and amongst us to do his work and to draw us close, you know, to the words of Jesus and to the heart of God and to His Spirit. And this we pray through Christ the Lord. Amen. I have to say, though, at first it's like we seem really quiet here. Do you notice? Like it just feels like there's just a sense of quietness within the church here. And I'm saying, just let the veils down, you know, it's like, just come alive. I mean, this is the whole point of, like, Passover, is that, you know, the King has come, and it's coming into Jerusalem, and we're going to be reading some of that scripture here, and you just have to get the essence of what is going on during this moment here. It's huge, it really is, in terms of Jesus coming into Jerusalem after doing his, you know, 3 years of ministry, and being around the Sea of Galilee, traveling here and there, in Capernaum and Nazareth, and all those different places that he preached, he made a huge impact. But the biggest impact that he's going to make is what's to follow next week, or this the end of this week, is the death on the cross, because that's what he came to do. And so entering into this the Jerusalem, the place where the temple is, the place where even you know, David offered sacrifices even before the temple was built, even the place where David I have to get the names right here. Who was it that offered their son up on the? It was Moses, right? No, who? Abraham. Thank you. That one eluded me. I couldn't think of Abraham's name. It was on that mount where the temple is being built, you know, where all of these things happen. So this is a very special ground, if you can call it that. And Jesus is coming into this. So let's read some scripture here and see exactly what we have. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, and you should just say this all with me, right? All right, so, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Can you imagine all this parade of Christ coming in on a donkey, and everybody lined up, and all these cloaks and all these branches laid out for the donkey so that they don't have to be walking on this gravel ground and the dust that would be flaring up and stuff like that. It's a carpet that's been laid out by the people of their offerings. And the question is, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Can you just kind of see the essence of the number of people that are around and getting into this sense of the king has returned and prophecy is being fulfilled. It's a huge moment of what's going on. And there's obviously, it's one of those things too that I think after Christ has gone and as they ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit has come out upon the people, that when they read Scripture and reflect upon the events that had happened, what they begin to realize is the significance of all of it that was happened then, even though they may not have understood everything right now. And the word, as Barb was saying, Hosanna means to save. And sometimes they're wondering, like, again, what Barb was reading, is that He's come to save us from the Romans. But that's not really what He came to save us from, is it? He came to save us from sin. Just as simple as that. That which separates us from God. So that now we can have that direct relationship with Him. If I go to another scripture and just look at this last section over here where they're shouting and everything, let's look and see what's said in John 12:12-13. He says, the next day the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet Him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So we've got two accounts in what we're saying here. You know how it is, like even all of our news accounts that we've got of what's going on in the political realm of the United States or even what's happening around the world and stuff. You listen to one news station that says this, one news station that says that. We've got two reports here. One says that Jesus is the king. The other one says that He's a prophet. And I can just imagine all this talking and stuff that's going around, and they're going to say, no, this is the Jesus that I know, the one that changed the water into the wine. That's the Jesus that's coming here. And that's the one that we need to be, you know, glorifying and putting up, because who can do a miracle like that? Take jugs of water and turn that into wine for a celebration about, and make a festival happen that was about ready to go flat because there wasn't enough for everybody to be there. Jesus came in and saved the day. Now that's the Jesus I know. Well, maybe there's another report out there that there's about the one. No, Jesus is the one that I'm talking about. He goes around and He heals the sick. All right, all those that seem to be lame and those that, you know, are, you know, got whatever types of health problems, He can heal them. That's the Jesus that's coming and walking down through. That's why I'm up there and lining the streets and putting the palm branches out. And someone else is saying, no. That's the Jesus that took the demons out of the people. That's the one that we're talking about. And you got all these different news reporters. We got news reporters that are coming in and say, no, He's the one that made the cripples walk. I saw it. There's a guy that's been crippled for all of his life. And Jesus told him, pick up his man and walk. And there he did. Amazing how that can be. And then another report, maybe about this Jesus, that He was the one that, there's a guy that has a withered hand. And Jesus tells him just to reach it out. And there it was. It was all healed and everything. That's the Jesus that we're out there proclaiming as the prophet, as the king. No, maybe it's the one that gave sight to the blind. You see, Jesus has done all these things, and everybody gets to see a little part of who Jesus is. And they're all coming together because of the great the Passover and the huge crowds that are there. And they've witnessed some of the things that Jesus has done. And they're coming in and they're saying to the reporter, no, this is the Jesus that I know. Or how about the one that brought people back from the dead? Jairus' daughter. You know, maybe it's the widow's son. Maybe it's Lazarus. You know, that they were there and witnessed and everything. And if somebody can do that, by golly, they are a king. By golly, they're a prophet. They're a man of God, that's for sure. But those are just news bits, because there's more. There's other people that see stuff. He's the one that healed the sick, the ones that were bleeding, you know, for multiple years, the ones that bent over for life and stuff, and just healed those people. Maybe it was you were in the people were in the crowd where the 4,000 were fed or the 5,000 were fed, all based upon a couple loaves of bread and maybe a couple fish. And be able to be experienced part of that miracle and the ministry that goes in with all of what Jesus was doing then. Maybe Maybe it was you that was being cured from Jesus and healed of deafness. And how important that would be to be able to hear people again, and that you're no longer silent into the world, but you could actually hear everything that was being there. Wouldn't you want to just hear the words of Jesus as he was coming into Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to have this parade and this sense of awe and coming in? Maybe it was the one that where the lepers, you know, those 10 lepers that came to him. And as they walked away, they all became clean. Maybe they were part of one of those people. Maybe it was the one of the 10 that came back and actually worshiped the Lord. I don't know. But can you imagine the different reports and saying, no, this Jesus here, he's the one that heals. This is the one that makes the lepers clean. This is the one, you know, that can bring people back from the dead. Or maybe it was the one that just spoke in parables all the time. So confusing. And yet, you know, when I'm going home, I'm listening to that story that he talked about, and it all of a sudden starts to make sense because he's talking about me and my walk with God. And now you can start to contemplate on some of the things that Jesus said, because for some reason he just has this way with words that can just permeate right deep into the depths of my soul. And sometimes when he just looks at me, maybe I'm Peter, who after the rooster crowed so many times, I realized that Jesus was true in saying that I did deny Christ 3 times. Amazing how that man, or maybe it was the one that just seemed to know Scripture through and through, knew exactly when to be able to use the right Scripture at the right time, and not only that, know the true meaning behind Scripture. You have heard it said, but I tell you, this is what God the Father had intended to do with those Scriptures. You see, different reports, all the same man, and yet we get these continued ones here, where we had even the one, the Jesus, the one that challenged all those leaders, where no one else could stand up against them, and yet for some reason, Jesus had this unbelievable gift to be able to silence them with his responses. Wow, who could do that? No, I'm gonna stand by, and that's my Jesus. Because I want to be strong, I want to be bold, and be able to have the words that he has. Or maybe it's just one because he spoke with authority. And why is it that he speaks with authority? Because he's God. Simple enough that wherever he went, he spoke the truth. Everything that he did, everything that he said, was of the will of the Father. And how important that really is, and be able to see that. So Jesus comes in, and soon afterwards he gets arrested. And he's taken before Pilate. And even Pilate asked them, who are you? So let's look at this little scripture right over here. Matthew 27:11. It says, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor and said, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? I'm sure he's heard an awful lot of this stuff. He's a Roman citizen, Pilate is. He may not understand all the ways of the Jews, but he knows that the Jews are important. We have to please them, because if they get upset, then Rome's upset. But you know what? Jesus replied. He says, yes, it is as you say, that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Even when Jesus was told, spoke and said that he is the King of the Jews, you know as well as I do what happens to him. Because there's other reports out there in terms of this Jesus. He's just a troublemaker. He's a man that's in association with Beelzebub, which is just a league with Satan himself. There's all types of reports out there in terms of who Jesus is. This guy, this reported king coming into the town. Some people lay their cloaks down. Some people put palm branches there. on the passageway into town. Let's look at how some other people treated him. In Mark 15, 16 through 20, it says, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace. That is the praetorium. They called together the whole company of soldiers. Now imagine, just right. So they called the whole company together, right? It's not just an individual thing. All the soldiers are there. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple robes and put on his own clothes, put his own clothes on him. And then they let him out to crucify him. How is it that you can have all these different reports of who this Jesus is, and all recognizing him as king, but treating him completely different? It's pretty sad, because I can see even in our world today, we do the very same thing. There's some that lift the name of Jesus on high, and then there's some that use the name of Jesus as a curse word. And yet I know, because God has placed it in the hearts of every individual, who God is. So we might say, well, it's enough to know that God is there. Well, I tell you it's not, because if you think just God is God and that's all that you need to know, let me show you scripture here that might prove you otherwise. Oh, I forgot the other. Skipped a scripture here. Let me go to this one here where Jesus was put on the cross after that beating and stuff. Remember, scripture talked about him not being able to even be recognized with all those beatings that he had. And in John 19, 19 through 22, it talks about the sign that goes over Jesus as he's being crucified. It says, Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews. And then Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Imagine, even those that were supposed to know and be able to recognize who God is could not even recognize Jesus as King of the Jews. And as I was saying, there's so many out there that have no leadership in terms of who God is, no witnessing to them, no Bible school, no Sunday school, no coming just to church even on Christmas or Easter. They have no idea that Jesus is King. Well, let's go look at this here, and just to know that there's a God. Well, look at this in James chapter 2, verse 19. He says, You believe that there's one God. Good. Look at that. James speaking, that's good. But then he says, Even the demons believe that and shudder. So is it just enough to know that there's a God? I say no. Because it says here, even in Scripture, that's what the demons recognize. They have that. And then even look at the demons. When Jesus casts out those demons, you know, the multitudes of demons that were cast out and everything, look what one of them says in Scripture about who he is. So in Mark 1, 23 and 24, he says, Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. How is it that the demons seem to know who he is, but the people around him have no clue?" How is that possible? And yet they shout, "Hosanna in the highest. Jesus, King of the Jews, is coming in." Do they really know what they're saying? You know, Jesus wanted really nothing more than for us to be able to hear the words that he has to say. His goal was to be able to talk about his Father and all of his attributes, his character, about who the Father is, so that people knew. And if we knew who the Father was, it's real simple. We could recognize who Jesus is because they have the same foundation. They are the same. And when the Holy Spirit comes, how do we recognize that the Holy Spirit's here? Because he's the same as the Father. It's so special to be able to have that. And Jesus is telling the people here in John 8, 45 through 47, he says, "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." That's harsh words that Jesus might say. Do you believe God and his words that he says? See, it's an awful quiet crowd here today. I'm going to ask you again. Do you believe that the words that Jesus has for you?
Yes.
Yes. You have to. Well, for eternal life, you have to. To have a relationship with God, you have to. And not just the words on page 742, all of his words. Because he's more than we can really understand. And as we read we just fellowship with God every day that we have and all the time that we have with him, we come to see him a little bit more. And because of that, you know, we're not afraid to speak that of our relationship with God. Because when we don't deny God before others, then God doesn't deny us. And we can have the strength to be able to do that because we've witnessed how he works in our lives, not just in the people around us, but in our lives. That personal testimony that you have, every day you have a testimony. And it just grows and it grows and it grows and it builds up, and as time goes on and stuff, and it's like all the more you get to see the blessings of God in everything that you get to experience. Yes, even in those times when you're not feeling so well and you're sick and you're in the hospital bed, or you know, there's a loss of something that has happened to you for whatever reason. Even in those times, you can experience the blessings of God. Because God says that he'll be with us. And if you don't believe the truth that Jesus says, then how can you have faith? If Jesus truly is a king, I'm finding out that that's not what's at question here. If we can say he's a king, and even the people around can say that he's a king, they don't even know who he is. Even if the demons can say that he's a king, then what's the difference? The difference is this. It's how we respond to the king. You see, demons don't worship the king. Christians worship the king. That's the difference. King is king, and king will always be. But what's our response to the king? How we live our lives, the things that we say, the things that we do, how we walk, especially in those times where we think nobody else is watching. What's your response to this Passover day where the king is coming into Jerusalem? Are you saying, Hosanna in the highest? Do you know why you're saying that? Has your lives changed because of Jesus coming into Jerusalem and being willing to be that sacrificial lamb for you? So that you can have eternity with God the Father. So that your debt, because of sin, can be paid for and the Holy Spirit can just flood into your heart and live there so that God can be not just here and over there, but inside of us. You see, that's where we should just be rejoicing, is that we got all of God inside of us because I know God and I believe in God. I believe what He's saying. I trust Him with my heart. I trust Him with my life. You see, that's the King. And we need to be servants of the King, not enemies of the King. You're going to be one or the other, it's sad to say. But you're either going to be God's child or you're not. You're either going to be going to heaven or you're going to hell. We like to think there's somewhere in between that's this nice marginal area where we're kind of pleasing everybody around us. There's only one to please, and that's God the Father. That's the King. And if we're trying to please something else than that, then we're on the wrong track. It's not always easy. But there's times that we get it. And it's kind of special, even like when the disciples were actually getting it too. Let's look at the scripture here. It's near the end of one of the book of John, and it says, John 16, 29 through 31, he says, "Then Jesus' disciples said, 'Now you are speaking clearly.'" I like that. Because remember how he always spoke in parables, and it seems we have to take this in and kind of try to digest what he's saying. But in this sense here, we're looking at it that you are speaking clearly. Something just clicked with these disciples. And without figures of speech, now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Think about that. You can just read Scripture without questioning it. That you can experience God without asking, is that really God or is that not God? That when something happened and there's a sequence of events that led to an answered prayer, you don't have to question whether God had His hand in that or was that luck. You see, the disciples at this moment, they kind of got it because look what Jesus says. You believe at last. Amazing. All those years that these disciples have been with Jesus, and finally he says, you believe at last. About time. You know, how much longer can I be with you guys? You know how frustrating that must be with Jesus, you know, working with us, working with me. But yet he has that compassion over and over and over again. But not everyone can accept that. It's pretty sad because let's look at some scripture here where Jesus is really talking some heavy-duty spiritual stuff to all of his disciples. Let's look at what he has to say here in John 6. And I kind of broke it up because there's some sections in here that where Jesus is going on. I'll just kind of paraphrase that. But in the beginning, at 51 all the way down to 67 of chapter 6, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Right? And so, Jesus is telling these individuals that you need to eat me. And they're like, how can we eat you? This is like, you can't do that. And he's, again, you know, Jesus kind of puts people right up against the wall. You almost have to make a choice, even when we don't understand always. But Jesus goes on to start speaking that it's about a spiritual thing that he's saying. That you need to feed off of me in order to live. There was manna that came down from heaven, right? During the Exodus, God provided food for those people, even water. And now Jesus is providing that spiritual food for us. But you see, if we don't believe him, if we don't know of him, how can we be fed? But when he speaks, even look what happens. He says, then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And can you imagine all the discrepancies and all this reporter going on about this reporter going on about that? We need to listen to the truth. And there's one source where the truth comes from. Anybody want to take a guess where that comes from? Yeah, God. That's what we need to listen to. Right? There's going to be a lot of conjecture and stuff about commentaries about what Jesus says in Scripture, more commentaries what Jesus says in Scripture. What we need to do is just listen to what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to have. And all that understanding. And look at what happens. He says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So look at the result of this, right? From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Can you imagine that turning point? Because we can't comprehend God. We can't put God in a little box. All of a sudden, I'm done. I'm going to go back to just knowing that there's a God. Well, we already know who believes that too. It's too hard sometimes to serve God. It's too hard to take in his teachings. It's too hard to depend on someone all the time. In our nation, in our culture, we like to be independent. We don't like to have to borrow somebody's lawnmower or let somebody borrow our lawnmower. It can break. We like to have our own stuff. And in some cases, we like to have our own God. But there's only one King. So Jesus even asked his disciples, right? Do you want to leave too? He asked the 12. Do you know what their response was? What would we do if we didn't have you? What would you be like if all of a sudden God, you no longer needed God and God abandoned you? I can't imagine that. I can't imagine going, knowing God, and then all of a sudden saying, done. And Don't we always say, kind of, you know, probably maybe to ourselves or whatever, if I was back during those biblical times, and if I could just hear Jesus speak, you have no idea how strong of a believer I would be. My guess is you might just be like one of these people here. They might say, this is too hard of a teaching. I'm going to go back home. I'm just going to live my life and control the things that I want to control. Whatever happens, happens. But you see, we have an awesome opportunity to be able to know God very intimately. We have the Holy Spirit that has been poured out on all people. It's like the gift. You know, it's a huge gift. I have this amazing gift from God right here. All you have to do is get out of those pews and come up and get it. How many would come up and get it? Or how many would be too embarrassed to come up and get it? How many people, you know, once you start saying, oh, there's a free gift in the church and everything, might come in and say, oh, that? I don't need that. Or somebody might come in and say, yeah, I've been looking for this all my life. And this is the gift. And it is a gift to be able to know God. Jesus says, again, when we're talking about whether we know the King or not, I think just about everybody will agree. Well, I don't know. I can't say that. All I can say is that there is a King, that even the demons realize who Jesus is. What do we do about it? The King has been established and is established and will always be established no matter what we do. But we have an awesome opportunity in which to be with the King, to serve the King, to lift His name on high. Jesus gives us some words too in John 14:23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You see, if you really believe, then your life is not your own. Your life belongs to the King. And that we need to be obedient to the King in all aspects of our lives. It's a process to say that you're, oh, I'm not there, I'm only like 10%. And some people might be 1%. And some people might feel like they're 60% or 70%. It doesn't matter. It's a walk with God. And it's a continual walk with God so that we become continually closer. So that 1% becomes 2%, and that 2% becomes 4%, and that 4% becomes 8%. And you start looking back in your life and you're saying, I'm not the same person I was 20 years ago. Some people change like that, instantaneously, because they know they just need that change, and somehow it hits them so hard, and it's like a beautiful event when that happens. And for the rest of their lives, they're learning Scripture. For the rest of their lives, they're looking at everyone around them and seeing Jesus in them. Their lives have changed. They've become a servant of God. A servant of the King versus an enemy of the King. Again, in 1 John 4, verses 11 and 12, it talks about, again, what's our response to knowing the King. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, right, that we know what He's done for us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. I tell you, that is important. You know, Barb talked about is, you know, how is it you guys get along? I don't know how we get along because we're really different people. We're somewhat dysfunctional people in here. Okay? Myself included. And it's like, how do we get along and to be able to, you know, sit down every Wednesday and have some Bible study or get together Sundays and sometimes just help one another out? It's because of the Holy Spirit that's here, unifying us as one. It's not by our works we're being able to do that, but because we're choosing to be a servant of the King, we're working with other servants in a godly fashion. We learn to work with, we learn to compromise with some things, we learn to forgive, we learn to start speaking pleasantries, we learn to give praises, we learn to help when someone needs help. Why do we do those things? Because that's how you serve the King. That's how you become a servant of God, by doing His will. It's right here in Scripture. If you really believe that, just this is what we're doing. And so it was so neat when Josh, you know, responded back and he says, you know, there's a King, but it's funny how different how people respond to that King differently. Some give praises not really knowing who He is. Some beat the King, and some really accept Him as Lord and Savior. Pat, did you want to say something?
Go back one.
This one here? Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have that understanding. It's like Jesus saying, "You finally understand." Yeah, just and it's awesome to be able to have those moments in our walk because it just clarifies things, and then we're not afraid to serve the Lord because it really isn't hard. It might take some patience. It might take some goodwill. It might even take, you know, the fruit of the Spirit to be able to do that. And self-control is probably one of the hardest that's out there, right? I want you to think about this. I'm going to go back. This is my only Old Testament scripture that I'm going to have in here. It comes from King Hezekiah, where the temple has been being rebuilt, at least the place of worship is, after it's been destroyed. The people are starting to gather back to Jerusalem. And they haven't really worshipped the Passover the way they have been instructed to by the Lord. So what Hezekiah does is he sends out this letter to all the people, asking them to come back and to worship the Passover. Because this is why Jesus, again, was coming back to Jerusalem, is to worship in the Passover during this time where the King was coming into Jerusalem. But let's look at this here in 2 Chronicles 30, 6 through 9. Is it possible to send a letter out like this today to all Christians, to all those who know who the King is, right? Let's just see if this would happen here. It says, at the King's command, couriers went throughout Israel and Judah with letters from the King and from his officials, which read, "People of Israel, return to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that he may return to you who are left, who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord, the God of their fathers, so that he made them an object of horror, as you see. Do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were. Submit to the Lord. Come to the sanctuary which he has consecrated forever. Serve the Lord your God so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you return to the Lord, then your brothers and your children will be shown compassion by their captors and will come back to this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate. He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. If you come to recognize who the king is, if you come to serve the king the way the king wants you to serve, there's compassion that comes from the king. That compassion is forgiveness. And God knows we all need that. And it may be for different things, but God can forgive everything. I want you to know that. He loves you that much. That he died on the cross for every individual, for every sin. So that you can return to him. One last scripture is going to summarize things in terms of Jesus being King of Kings. We're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. And this is really about Jesus defeating Satan. And it's the beginnings of this. If you want to go on, you can read some more about all that, the battle that goes on. But it's not really a battle. He just comes in and he takes them captive. But let's just read and see what it says here. It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has the name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepresses of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Are you a servant of God? Or are you an enemy of God? If you want to serve him, you need to obey his commands. You need to worship him. You need to fellowship with him. You need to spend time, meditate. Those are the things that please God. When you walk with someone else, treat them with love. That pleases God. There's a lot of reports out there about who Jesus is. But I know who he is. He's my Savior. My God. Who is he to you? Father, I just thank you for this message here today. And as we come upon our Easter season, let it help us to reflect about the almightiness of who you are. And really the weakness in terms of who we are and how we need you to live. We need to depend upon every word that you have spoken. We need to pray often. We need to consider our actions and whether they're worthy to be a servant of God. And if we're doing something, is it doing it for the Lord or are we doing it for ourselves? Father, prepare our hearts for this Easter season. Help us to reflect on what is most important. And let us hold on to that through and through. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.